David, there is no rest for the weary, and we're getting right to the point. You get to be a part, congratulations, by the way, of our leadoff Tuesday troll poll on Twitter. The majority of the criticism of William Nylander is fair or unfair. What say you?
Well, it's fair. I mean, well, it was coming from his coach. I mean, when you say the criticism, this idea that the media has been piling on, I don't really buy into that at all. I mean, we're watching the games. You know, William Nylander was a 31 goal scorer in 60 something games last year. And, you know, he's on pace for 14 goals this season, and playing on a line with John Tavares, the expectations are going to be higher. So I think it's fair. And guys, let's put this into context. He got benched, as you mentioned, right? The last, what did you say, 8:45 was it, Scott?
Mm-hmm. Saturday night, yep.
Yeah. Okay, what had led up to that? The Saturday earlier, they'd blown a third period lead against Montreal. Then they blew that epic 5-1 lead against Ottawa. I mean, this didn't come out of thin air, right? It's Sheldon Keefe. It's his job to assess what adjustments, what tinkering do we need to do? We want to make sure we win games that we're supposed to win, that we hold on to leads. And it wasn't all putting it on William Nylander, but he has to identify the situation and coach accordingly. So, yeah, listen, Nylander is under the microscope, good and bad, as you guys have sort of stated in the last segment there. And in this case, certainly a lot of the criticism's justified, and we'll move forward.
So we've been talking all morning about the fact that secondary scoring didn't show up last night, and you can't expect Matthews and Marner to do it, you know, stay hot every night and have produce all the offense. Where do you place Nylander and Tavares? Is that like primary? Is that secondary? Like, they haven't shown up this year for the most part when it's mattered, especially games like last night. Where do you put those two in the pecking order?
Well, I mean, it'd be crazy to think of John Tavares as secondary scoring, right? I mean, since John Tavares entered the NHL, Ovechkin and Stamkos have scored more goals, right? I mean, this guy is a perennial machine. I mean, he's someone you can count on. They didn't bring him in here at the price tag they brought him in. They didn't hand the C to him to be a secondary guy. So I look at Tavares always as a primary scorer along those guys. And that was sort of the argument, that they have this great depth up front. William Nylander, of course, is showing signs of brilliance at times. He's showing he could be a bona fide scorer. He just hasn't done it consistently, and that's been sort of the knock on him. I still think those guys have to be considered primary scorers on this team. By the way, I don't know if you call it secondary. I know Stewie wants you to call it tertiary, right?
Like, oh, sorry. Okay, we've been, you know what, we've been using so many Stewie-isms that we have to be careful. He apparently called his lawyer, like he's all over Scotty. Yeah.
He tried to sue us last week over the Reface app when we pilfered that from him. He's a litigious guy, Amber. I'd watch out. You know, don't trust your pals on that panel.
He's absolutely shady. I saw, by the way, the face mash or whatever you call it that you did. I thought it was hilarious. Yeah, very good. So those guys are prime. They have to be considered primary scoring.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. And I don't, it's like I'm watching the game last night. I'm like, okay, Matthews and Marner don't have it. And I'm like, okay, where is it coming from now? Where is it going to come from? And I don't know. And it's almost like it's crazy to think of, like, but you expect the Tavares and Nylander to say, okay, our main two guys don't have it tonight. Now it's on us, but they didn't get anything from them.
Yeah. You know what, guys, and I'm not giving the Leafs a free pass by any means. Last night to me actually was, you could argue, was their worst performance. And I know they blew a 5-1 lead to Ottawa, but they showed who they are for 40 minutes of that game. This offensive juggernaut, they controlled the play. They controlled the puck. They were the Leafs. Last night, they weren't the Leafs. Almost from the start of the game, they just seemed off. The passes were off. It's not that they weren't trying. It just, nothing was executing, right? And you saw how bad it was on that power play, the 5-on-3 for almost 2 minutes. They looked, I don't know if tired's the right word. I mean, they've played 20 games, right? They've played the second most games in the NHL. Maybe fatigue is part of it. But let's not reduce the fact that the parts they were missing, they weren't missing Matthews and Marner, but they were missing key parts for them, right? Like, they gave up 2 power play goals. They were missing their best forward on the penalty kill, Zach Hyman. They didn't effectively move the puck all the time out of their zone. Jake Muzzin can provide, he's very good at controlling the play to some degree when he's out there on the ice, and certainly controlling it in the defensive zone. They're missing him, and then they didn't have Anderson. I'm not putting this on Hutchinson. They didn't score. But my point is they were missing some key parts, and we even saw last year in the playoffs when they were missing Muzzin. Like, the team, he's a glue guy in many respects for this team. So I think that's super important. And, they also had to chase the game for the first time. It's the first time in a month they were trailing in a game by two or more goals. Like, that just, they've always kept close. They've bent but haven't broken. And last night it was a case where they went down by two goals and they probably were looking around going, oh, okay, this is a bigger hole than we've had in a while. So these aren't excuses. I think these are just facts. And they kind of laid an egg. And I think it's maybe just as simple as that.
With David Amber, and part of it too is their opponent last night, the Calgary Flames. I mean, if you're not playing with pride last night, David, after what happened in Edmonton as recently as Saturday, and given everything, really everything that's gone on in Calgary since Jake Muzzin flipped the puck at Matthew Tkachuk a few weeks ago, if you're not playing with pride last night, then what are you really? And let's be honest, there are a lot of questions out there in Calgary right now about the character of that locker room.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I didn't even get to that part of it, and I wouldn't call it a trap game. I mean, a trap game is they're sitting there about to play the defending champs, and it's the night before, and you're playing the worst team in the league, effectively. That wasn't the case at all. But Calgary went in there with a certain amount of purpose and will, and the Leafs, are sitting there riding high, 6 points, gap between them and the next team in their division. They're feeling good about themselves. They probably didn't have that heightened sense of urgency. So when you factor all those things together, guys, I think it's exactly it. I think it was just a recipe for disaster. I like to bet on the games a little bit here and there. And I looked at the game yesterday and I just went, I'm not touching this. And as much as it seemed like the Leafs, on paper, you go, oh, well, this is easy. Calgary's playing horribly. The Leafs are playing great. I just said, I'm not going anywhere near this.
So you pick the games, because my buddies call me all the time, and I'm telling you, I try to give them a little bit of help. I've got nothing for them. I mean, how are you this year? Do we need to do the David Amber picks every week? I mean, I'm kind of interested now.
who's your guy is Justin Bourne has been doing incredibly well.
Okay.
Yeah. Next time Bourne's on the show, I'll ask him about it. He's like Rain Man action there. Everything went pretty well last night, though. You can do live bets during the game, right? So during the games, Tampa was losing by a goal. Florida was losing by a goal. And there was one other one. And the Islanders were all losing by a goal after the first period, right?
So do you do? Are you stats or are you feel? How do you pick team?
It was feel. It was feel. I mean, it's on everything, right? I mean, listen, you have some good days and some bad days, but if in a live bet situation, when teams are trailing, the odds change appreciably, right? So you can put down a very little amount of money, and you stack those games, and they all came back and won. So it was a glorious night last night, I guess.
So David, what are the signs if things start going sideways for you? Is it if the top button of your dress shirt is undone and the tie's a little loose? if you haven't kept the chrome dome down to the wood, like if there's 5 or 6 days of growth, like what are the signs? What are the screams for help from David Amber if it all goes wrong?
If I'm calling you because my wife's throwing me out of the house, that's the number one sign, Scott. And I need a couch to sleep on. Listen, what do they say? Know your limits, play within it.
Yes.
I'm talking recreational. You know what it does? It keeps sort of watching an Anaheim, Arizona game at 10 at night. So I have some vested interest in it, right? That's all.
A team that nobody's betting for right now is the Buffalo Sabres. Jeff Skinner, a healthy scratch, 1 assist through 14 games. Sabres 5-8-2. Do you trade Skinner at this? Do you move him?
How?
To who?
Brian Burke on line one. I don't think Berkey's taking that call. I mean, $9 million. I don't know what to make of this. I mean, Jeff Skinner's a good player, but they handed him a lot of money for a guy who had, he has the longest active streak of a player playing. I think he's played 700-something games without playing a playoff game. And I'm certainly not putting that all on Jeff Skinner. Don't get me wrong. But my point being, you know, $9 million is a guy, you know, that's a hefty, hefty price tag. He was coming off a 40-goal season, and since then, I think he scored maybe 16, 17 goals in 85 games or something. Like, it's, I don't know what you do there, and I get why Ralph Kruger would give him the healthy scratch status, trying to kind of get the mojo going. That whole Buffalo situation, guys, is very tough right now, and I want that market to succeed because, as you know, they're one of the best hockey markets, period. I mean, they have an insatiable appetite. They are incredibly passionate, sophisticated, knowledgeable fans, and they deserve, it's 9 years and running, the longest drought without the playoffs in that city, and it's a shame. The NHL's better when that market does well, and they thought by paying Jeff Skinner $72 million that they were moving in the right direction. But that contract's looking like an albatross right now.
Well, David, and I totally know what you mean when you say they paid him, except they, as we know them now, did not. Like, Kevin Adams didn't, right? So they, the new front office absorbs this contract off of a singular 40-goal season. I know Skinner had some good years as a younger player in Carolina as well. I won't dismiss those, but he's had the concussions and the head injuries. That is one of those contracts. They always say, well, hindsight's 20/20. You can't question it later. That's one of those contracts that felt wrong at the time. But you
add, a question mark.
You add that to the fact that Eichel's got two goals and Hall's got one.
Yeah. I think one thing I'll say is this team was maybe hurt by COVID more than other teams. It seems to have had a lingering effect. There's, Ritsalainen. We don't know when he's coming back. It has had a bit of a residual effect on this team, and I'm not trying to make excuses, but that might have, we always thought, oh, if COVID kind of runs rampant through a team, what's it going to do? Some teams have recovered somewhat effectively, New Jersey, et cetera, and their team just didn't feel like they ever even got any traction going. Eichel, I watched a bit of that game. I was flipping back and forth. Hall, had a chance to tie the game with 3 minutes left when, hit the post. Like, I'm not saying it's puck luck. I'm saying there's some issues there. Hall, maybe he'll be someone who's moved at the deadline, right? Now, again, an $8 million price tag's pretty hefty price tag, but you can just take it on for this season if you feel he'll be a complimentary part to help your team in the postseason, much like he was moved last year. The Skinner one is the tough one, and keeping Eichel happy. How many times have we talked about the narrative of, oh, what's Edmonton going to do with McDavid? They got to show some progress, or McDavid's going to demand out of there. I think that storyline has died down a fair bit. I think we see there's some nice parts around McDavid, and they're building on something there. But for Jack Eichel, he must be looking. Remember, he was drafted around the same time as McDavid and Matthews, and he's looking at these guys, and we're talking about Art Rosses, and we're talking about, Hart trophies and all these things. And he's looking around and he's just saying, good God, I think I'm of that caliber and it ain't happening here. So I'm wondering how you keep him happy. And unfortunately, because they've dolled out an incredible amount of money with some of these other, players that we've talked about this year, Hall and obviously Skinner for the next 7 years, it's trouble. And Kevin Adams has his work cut out, guys. It's going to be really interesting to see what unfolds there. I don't see how you move Skinner, though. Maybe you'd have to, literally throw in a first-round draft pick or something like that, which seems absolutely extreme. But I don't know how you move that contract.